hand. Don't. Ignoring the explosive chemistry between us is hard enough without him reminding me what we feel like together. Physically, our relationship, or whatever we are, is perfect. Better than perfect. It's hot as hell and more than addictive. My entire body warms as he kisses the sensitive part of my palm. I drop my hand. We're walking into what's certainly going to be a trial, if not an execution. And you've got jokes? Trust me, not joking. He turns as we reach the steps and heads down first, glancing back over his shoulder at me. Surprised that you're not icing me out, but definitely no jokes. I'm angry with you for keeping information from me. Ignoring you doesn't solve that.
Good point.
What did you want to talk about? I have a question I've been thinking about since Erasia.
And you're only now telling me?
He reaches the bottom of the steps and shoots an incredulous look at me.
Communication is not your strength, is it?
Don't worry. We'll work on it along with your shielding. That's ironic coming from you. We start up the path to the quadrant as the sun steadily rises on our right, the light catching on the two swords Zayden has strapped to his back. Does the movement have any scribes it can count as friends?
No.
The citadel looms ahead of us, its towers peeking over the edge of the ridgeline the tunnel runs through.
I know you grew up trusting a lot of them.
Don't say anything else, I shake my head. Not until I can protect myself from Dane.
Honestly, I've considered scrapping the plan and just throwing him off the parapet.
He means it, and I can't blame him. He's never trusted Dane. And after what happened during War Games, I'm about 99% sure I can't trust him either. It's that 1% constantly screaming at me that he used to be my best friend that's the kicker. The 1% that makes me question if Dane knows what was waiting for us at Athbin. Helpful, but I'm not sure it will have the trust us effect we're going for.
And do you trust me?
You want the uncomplicated answer?
Given our limited alone time, that's preferable.
He stops at the tall doors that lead into the tunnel. With my life. After all, it's your life, too. The rest depends on how open he is with me. But now probably isn't the time for a state of our relationship talk. I swear there's a flash of disappointment in his eyes before he nods, then looks back for the other six who are quickly catching up.
I'll make sure Atos keeps his hands to himself, but you might have to play along.
Give me a shot at handling it first, then you can do whatever it is you think will work. The bells of Bezgaeth interrupt, announcing the hour. We have 15 minutes until formation will be called for graduation. Zayden's shoulders straighten as the others reach us, his expression shifting into an unreadable mask.
Everyone clear on what's about to happen?
This isn't the man who begged my forgiveness for keeping secrets. And it sure as hell isn't the one who vowed to earn back my trust in Erasia. No, this Zayden is the wing leader who slaughtered every attacker in my bedroom without breaking a sweat or losing a minute of sleep over it afterward.
We're ready,
Garrick says, rolling his neck like he needs to warm up before combat.
Ready,
Mason nods, adjusting the glasses on his nose. One by one, they agree.
Let's do it,
I lift my chin. Zayden stares long and hard at me, then nods. My stomach twists when we enter the tunnel, mage lights flickering on as we pass. The other door is already open when we make our way through. And I don't argue when Zayden plasters himself to my side. There's every chance we'll be arrested as soon as our feet touch the quadrant, or worse, killed, depending on what everyone knows. Power rises within me, thrumming beneath my skin, not quite burning, but ready if I need it. But no one appears as we cross into the rock-filled courtyard. We have minutes until this space fills with riders and cadre. The first riders we encounter walk out of the dormitory and into the courtyard with cocky swaggers, and second wing patches on their uniforms.
Look who's finally here. Bet you thought you had the games locked down, didn't you, fourth wing?
A rider with hair dyed forest green says with a smirk.
But you didn't. Second wing took it all when you didn't show.
Zayden doesn't bother looking in their direction as we pass. Garrick lifts his middle finger from my other side.
Guess this means no one knows what really happened, Imogen whispers.
Then we have a shot of this working, Aya replies, and the sunlight glints in the piercing in her eyebrow.
Of course no one fucking knows,
Zayden mutters. He looks up to the top of the academic building, and I follow his line of sight, my heart clenching at the image of the fire blazing in the pit on top of the farthest turret. No doubt waiting for offerings to Malik, belongings of the cadets who didn't make it through war games.
They're not going to out themselves over us.
At the entrance to the dorms, we all exchange a look, then break apart wordlessly according to the plan. Zayden follows me down the corridor and into the little hallway I've called home for the last 9 months. But it's not my room I'm interested in. I glance left and right to be sure no one sees us as Zayden opens Liam's door. He motions at me, and I slip under his arm and into the room, triggering the mage light overhead. My chest threatens to cave with the weight of grief as Zayden shuts the door behind us. Liam slept in that bed a matter of nights ago. He studied at that desk. He worked on the half-finished figurines on the bedside table.
You have to be quick, Zayden reminds me.
I will, I promise, going straight for his desk. There's nothing there besides his books and a selection of pens. I check his wardrobe, the dresser, and the chest at the foot of his bed, coming up empty-handed.
Violet,
Zayden warns me quietly, standing guard at the door.
I know, I say over my shoulder.
The second Taryn and Sigale arrived in the Vale, every dragon would know they'd returned, which means every member of the Quadrant's leadership knows we're here too. I lift the corner of the heavy mattress and sigh with relief, snatching the twine-bound stack of letters before letting the bedding fall back into place.
Got them!
I will not cry, not when I still have to hide them in my room.
But what will happen if they come to burn my things next? Let's go.
Zayden opens the door, and I walk into the hallway at the same moment Rhiannon, my closest friend in the Quadrant, walks out of her room with Riddick, another of our squad mates.
Oh, shit.
Vi! Rhi's mouth drops open and she lunges, grabbing onto me and pulling me into a hug.
You're here!
She squeezes tight, and I let myself relax into the embrace for the length of a heartbeat. It feels like forever since I've seen her, not 6 days. I'm here, I assure her, gripping the letters in the crook of one arm and wrapping the other around her. She squeezes my shoulders, then pushes me back, her brown eyes scanning my face in a way that makes me feel like complete shit for the lie I'm going to have to tell.
With what everyone was saying, I thought you were dead.
Her gaze rises over my head.
Thought you both were.
There was also the rumor that you got lost, Riddick adds. But considering who you were with, we were all betting on the dead theory. I'm glad we were wrong.
I promise I'll explain later, but I need a favor now, I whisper as my throat closes.
Violet?
Zayden's tone drops.
We can trust her, I promise, looking back at him.
Riddick too.
Zayden looks anything but pleased. Guess we really are home.
What do you need?
Rhi asks, concern furrowing her brow. I step back, then push the letters into her hands. Her family doesn't always obey the custom of burning everything either. She'll understand.
I need you to keep these for me. Hide them. Don't let anyone burn them.
My voice breaks. She glances down at the letters, and her eyes widen before her shoulders curve inward, and her face crumples.
What are the...
Riddick starts, looking over her shoulder and falling silent.
Shit.
No,
Rhiannon whispers, but I know she's not denying me the favor.
Not Liam. No.
Her gaze slowly rises to meet mine. My eyes burn, but I manage to nod, clearing my throat.
Promise you won't let them have these when they come for his things if I'm not...
I can't finish. Rhiannon nods.
You're not hurt, are you?
She scans me again, blinking at the line of stitchwork on my flight jacket, where the hole from the Venon's blade was repaired in Erasia. I shake my head. I'm not lying, not really. My body is perfectly healthy now.
We have to go, Zayden says.
I'll see you guys at graduation. I give them a watery smile, but take a step toward Zayden. The more space my friends have for me, the safer they'll be for the foreseeable future.
How do you do it?
I whisper at Zayden as we turn the corner into the crowded main corridor of the first-year dorms.
Do what?
His arms hang loose at his sides as he continuously scans the people around us, and he puts his hand on my lower back like he's worried we might get separated. We're in the thick of the rush, and for every person too busy to notice us, there's another who does a double take when we cross paths. Every marked one we see gives Zayden a subtle nod, signaling that they've been warned by the others.
Lie to the people you care about.
Our gazes collide. We pass one of the busts of the first six and follow the flow of the crowd past the wide spiral staircase that connects the higher year's dorms. Zayden's jaw clenches.
Vi,
I lift my hand and cut him off. It's not an insult. I need to know how to do it. We break away from the crush of cadets, headed out the door to the courtyard, and Zayden strides purposefully for the rotunda, yanking open the door and ushering me through. I step away from the hand he places on my lower back. Zanal must be smiling on us because the room is blessedly empty for the second it takes Zayden to tug me behind the first pillar we come to. The red dragon hides us from anyone who might pass through the space that connects all wings of the quadrant. Sure enough, voices and footsteps fill the vaulted chamber a moment later, but no one sees us behind the massive pillar, which is exactly why this is our chosen meeting place. I glance around Zayden, noting the emptiness behind the pillars that flank us. Either everyone else is on the other side of the rotunda, or we're the first to arrive.
For the record, I don't lie to the people I care about.
Zayden lowers his voice as he faces me, the intensity in his eyes pinning my back to the marble pillar. He leans in, consuming my field of vision until he's all I see.
And I sure as hell have never lied to you. But the art of telling selective truths is something you're going to have to master, or we'll all be dead. I know you trust Rhiannon and Riddick, but you can't tell them the truth, as much for their sakes as for ours. Knowing puts them in danger. You have to be able to keep the truth compartmentalized. If you can't lie to your friends, you keep your distance, understand?
I tense. Of course I know that, but hearing it said so blatantly drives the situation home like a knife to my stomach. I understand.
I never wanted you put in this position. Not with your friends, and especially not with Colonel Atos. That was one of the many reasons why I never told you.
How long did you know about Brennan?
It might not be the right time, but suddenly it's the only time.
He exhales slowly.
I've known about Brennan since his death.
My lips part, and something heavy shifts, easing a weight in my chest that's been there since Resson.
What?
You didn't dodge the question. I have to admit, I'm a little surprised.
I promised you some answers. He leans forward. But I can't promise you'll like what you hear.
I'll always prefer the truth.
Some answers? You say that now.
A wry smile twists his lips. I always will. The sounds of boots shuffling behind us as students report for formation reminds me that we're not entirely alone. But I need Zayden to hear this. If the last few weeks have shown you anything, it should be that I don't run from truth, no matter how hard it is or what it costs.
Yeah. Well, it cost me you.
My whole body tenses, and his eyes slam shut.
Shit. I shouldn't have said that.
He opens them again, shaking his head, and the abject misery there makes my heart clench.
I know it was the not telling you. I get it. But when the lives of everyone around you depend on how well you can lie, it's not easy to realize it's the truth that will save you.
A sigh moves his shoulders.
If I could do it all again, I'd do it differently. I promise, but I can't. So here we are.
Here we are. And I'm not even sure where here is. I shift my weight. But as long as you meant what you said about telling me everything,
He flinches and my heart sinks. You are going to tell me everything once I can properly shield, right? It's all I can do not to grab onto him and start shaking hard. That's what you promised in your bedroom. He is not doing this to me. Anything you want to know and everything you don't, those were your words.
Everything about me. Oh, fuck me, he is doing this to me again.
I shake my head. That is not what you promised. Zayden starts to take a step toward me, but I lift my chin, daring him to touch me right now. Smart man that he is, he keeps his feet planted. He runs a hand through his hair and sighs.
Look, I will answer any question you want to ask about me.
Gods, I want you to ask, to know me well enough to trust me, even when I can't tell you everything. He nods like those words had been included in the original promise when we both know damn well they weren't.
Because you didn't fall for an ordinary rider. You fell for the leader of a revolution.
He whispers, the sound so soft it barely carries to my ears.
To some degree, I'm always going to have secrets.
You have to be kidding me. I let anger rush to the surface in hopes it will burn away the heart-rending pain of his words. Brennan's been lying to me for 6 years, letting me mourn his death when he's been well the fuck alive the whole time. My oldest friend stole my memories and possibly sent me to die. My mother built my entire life on a lie. I'm not even sure what parts of my education are real and which are fabricated, and he thinks I'm not going to demand total, complete honesty from him?
I'm not kidding.
There's zero apology in his tone.
But that doesn't mean I won't let you in like I promised. I'm an open book when it comes to
whatever you want. I shake my head. And that's not going to work for me, not this time. I can't trust you again without full disclosure, period.
He blinks as though I've actually managed to stun him.
Full disclosure, I demand, like any rational woman staring down the man who kept her brother's life a secret from her, let alone an entire war.
I can forgive you for keeping me in the dark before today. You did it to save lives, possibly even mine.
But it's complete and total honesty from now on, or...
Gods, am I going to have to say it?
Am I really about to issue an ultimatum to Zayden fucking Ryerson?
Or what? He leans in, his eyes sharpening.
Or I'll get busy unfalling for you, I spit out.
Surprise flares in his eyes for a second before a corner of his mouth lifts into a smirk.
Good luck with that. I tried it for a good 5 months. Let me know how it works out for you.
I scoff at a complete loss for words as the bells chime announcing the beginning of formation.
It's time, he says. Keep your shields up. Block everyone out like we practiced on the way here.
I can't even keep you out.
You'll find I'm harder to block than most. His smirk is so infuriating, I ball my hands just to give my fists something else to do.
Hey, I hate to interrupt what's obviously a moment, Bodhi whispers loudly from my left, but that was the last bell, so that's our cue to get this nightmare started.
Zayden shoots a glare at his cousin, but we both nod. He doesn't do his friends the dishonor of asking if they accomplished their missions, as all eight of us walk into the center of the rotunda. My stomach jumps into my throat as the death roll sounds from the courtyard.
I will not die today, I whisper to myself.
I really fucking hope you're right about this,
Garrick says to Zayden as we face the open door.
It would be unfortunate to make it all 3 years and then die on graduation day.
I'm right. Zayden walks out, and we all follow, stepping into the sunlight.
Garrick Tavis. Zayden Ryerson.
Captain Fitzgibbon's voice carries over the formation as he reads from the death roll.
Well, this is awkward, Zayden calls out.
And every head in the courtyard turns in our direction. An excerpt from Colonel Kaori's Field Guide to Dragonkind. As dragons ferociously guard both their young and any information regarding their development,
only 4 facts are known about the dreamless sleep. First, it is a critical time of rapid growth and development. Second, the duration varies from breed to breed. Third, as the name suggests, it is dreamless. And fourth, they wake up hungry. Chapter 4. My heart beats fast enough to keep time with the hummingbird's wings as we walk across the courtyard toward the dais, Zayden 2 steps ahead of the rest of us. He moves without fear, his shoulders straight and head high, anger manifesting in every purposeful stride, every tight line of his body. I lift my chin and focus on the platform ahead as gravel crunches beneath my boots, the sound muffling more than one gasp from the cadets on my left. I might not have Zayden's confidence, but I can fake it.
"You're not dead," Captain Fitzgibbons, the scribe assigned to the Rider's Quadrant, stares with wide eyes beneath his silver brows, his weathered face turning the same pale cream of his uniform as he fumbles with the death roll, dropping it.
"Apparently not," Zayden replies.
It's almost comical how Commandant Pancheck's mouth hangs open as he turns toward us from his seat on the dais, and within seconds, my mother and Colonel Atos stand blocking his view. Jacinia steps forward, her brown eyes wide under her cream hood as she fetches the death roll for Captain Fitzgibbons.
"I'm happy you're alive," she signs quickly before grabbing the roll.
"Me too," I sign back, a sick feeling taking hold.
Does she know what her quadrant is really teaching her? Neither of us had a clue during the months and years we studied together. Colonel Atos's cheeks grow increasingly red with every step we take, his gaze skimming our party of 8, no doubt taking note of who's here and who isn't. My mother locks eyes with me for one heartbeat, a side of her mouth tilting upward in an expression I'm almost scared to call pride, before she quickly masks it, resuming the professional distance she's maintained impeccably for the last year. One heartbeat. That's all it takes for me to know that I'm right. There's no anger in her eyes, no fear or shock either, just relief. She wasn't in on Atos's plan. I know it with every fiber of my being.
"I don't understand," Fitzgibbons says to the 2 scribes behind him, then addresses Pancheck. "They aren't dead. Why would they have been reported for the death roll?"
"Why were they reported for the death roll?" my mother asks Colonel Atos, her eyes narrowing.
A cold breeze blows past, and though it's a momentary relief from the stifling heat, I know what it really means. The general is pissed. I glance skyward, but there's only blue as far as I can see. At least she hasn't summoned a storm.
Yet.
"They've been missing for 6 days, Atos seethes, his voice rising with each angry word. "Naturally, we reported them dead, but obviously we should have reported them for desertion and dereliction of duty instead."
"You want to report us for desertion?"
Zayden walks up the stairs of the dais, and Atos backs up a step, fear flashing across his eyes.
"You sent us into combat, and you're going to report us for desertion?"
Zayden doesn't need to shout for his voice to carry across the formation.
"What is he talking about?" my mother asks, looking between Zayden and Atos.
"Here we go."
"I have no idea," Atos grinds out.
"I was directed to take a squad beyond the wards to Athbeen and form the headquarters for 4th Wing's war games. And I did so. We stopped to rest our riot at the nearest lake past the wards, and we were attacked by griffins."
The lie rolls off his tongue as smoothly as the truth, which is both impressive and infuriating, because he doesn't have a single fucking tell. My mother blinks, and Atos's thick brows furrow.
"It was a surprise attack, and they caught day and fuel unaware."
Zayden pivots slightly, as though he's telling the wings and not leadership.
"They were dead before they ever had a chance."
An ache unfurls in my chest, stealing my breath. The cadets around us murmur, but I stay focused on Zayden.
We lost Liam Mari and Soleil Tellery, Zayden adds, then looks over his shoulder at me. And we almost lost Sorengale.
The general pivots and, for a second, looks down at me like she's not just my commanding officer, with worry and a touch of horror in her eyes. She looks at me like she's just... Mom. I nod, the pain in my chest intensifying.
He's lying, Colonel Atos accuses. The certainty in his voice makes my head swim with the possibility that we might not pull this off, that we might be killed where we stand before we have the chance to convince my mother.
I'm only behind the ridgeline, Taren tells me.
Breathe, Garrick whispers, or you'll pass out.
I inhale and focus on steadying my heartbeat.
Why the hell would I lie?
Zayden tilts his head and looks down at Colonel Atos with pure disdain.
But surely if you don't believe me, then General Sorengale can discern the truth from her own daughter.
That's my cue. Step by step, I ascend the stairs of the thick wooden platform to stand at Zayden's left side. Sweat drips down the back of my neck as the morning sun beats against my flight leathers.
Cadet Sorengale? My mother folds her arms and looks at me with expectation.
The weight of the quadrant's attention makes me clear my throat.
It's true.
Lies! Atos shouts. There's no way two dragons were brought down by a drift of griffins. Impossible. We should separate them and interrogate them individually.
My stomach pitches.
I hardly think that's necessary, the general responds, an icy blast blowing back the flight-loosened tendrils of my hair. And I would reconsider your insinuation that a Sorengale isn't truthful.
Colonel Atos stiffens.
Tell me what happened, Cadet Sorengale.
Mom cocks her head to the side and gives me the look, the one she used all throughout my childhood to unravel the truth when Brennan, Mira, and I would join ranks to hide any mischief.
Selective truth, Zayden reminds me. Tell no lies.
He makes it sound so fucking easy.
We flew for Athbeen as ordered.
I look her straight in the eyes. As Ryerson said, we stopped at the lake about 20 minutes out so we could water the dragons and dismounted. I only saw two of the griffins appear with their riders, but everything happened so damn fast before I could even get a grasp on what was happening.
Hold it together. I brush my hand over my pocket, feeling the ridges of the little carving of Andarna Liam had been working on before he died.
Soleil's dragon was killed and Day was gutted. My eyes water, but I blink until my vision clears.
Mom only responds to strength. If I show any sign of weakness, she'll dismiss my account as hysterics. We didn't stand a chance beyond the wards, General.
And then? Mom asks, completely unemotional.
Then I held Liam as he died, I state, quick to hide the quiver in my chin. There was nothing we could do for him once Day passed.
It takes me a second to shove the memories, the emotion, back into the box they have to stay in for this to work.
And before his body was even cold, I was stabbed with a poison-tipped blade.
Mom's eyes flare and she jerks her gaze away. I turn my focus to Colonel Atos.
But when we sought help in Athbeen, we found the entire outpost deserted and a note that Wing Leader Ryerson could choose to keep watch over a nearby village or race to El Tuval.
Here's the missive.
Zayden reaches into his pocket and pulls out the orders from War Games. Not sure what the destruction of a foreign village had to do with War Games, but we didn't stick around to find out. Cadet Sorengale was dying, and I chose to preserve what remained of my squad. He hands the crumpled orders to Mom. I chose to save your daughter.
She snatches the orders and stiffens.
It took us days to find someone capable of healing me, though I don't remember being healed, I tell them. And the second my life was out of danger, we flew back here. We arrived about half an hour ago, as I'm sure Imser can verify.
And the bodies? Atos asks.
Oh, shit. I have no fucking clue other than Zayden telling me they'd buried Liam.
Sorengail wouldn't know, Zayden answers. She was delirious from the poison. Once we knew there was no help to be found at Athbean, half the riot flew back to the lake and burned the bodies of both riders and dragons, while I took the other half to find help. If you're looking for proof, then you can find it either about 100 yards from the lake, in the clearing to the east, or in the fresh scars on our dragons. Enough! Mom pauses, no doubt confirming with her dragon, then turns slowly toward Colonel Atos. And though he has a few inches on her, he suddenly appears smaller. Frost blooms on the surface of the dais.
This is your handwriting. You emptied a strategically invaluable outpost beyond the wards for war games?
It was only for a few days. He has the good sense to retreat a step. You told me the games were at my discretion this year.
And clearly your discretion lacks common fucking sense. She retorts. I've heard everything I need to hear. Correct the death roll, get these cadets into formation, and commence graduation so the new lieutenants can get to their wings. I expect to see you in my office in 30 minutes, Colonel Atos.
Relief nearly takes my knees out from under me. She believes me.
Dane's dad stands at attention.
Yes, General.
You survived a knife wound after being thrown into combat as a first year, she says to me.
I did.
She nods, a satisfied half-smile curving her mouth for all of a heartbeat.
Maybe you're more like me than I gave you credit for.
Without another word, Mom walks between me and the edge of the dais, leaving us with Colonel Atos as she heads down the stairs. The frost dissipates instantly, and I hear her footsteps on the gravel behind us as the colonel turns on Zayden and me.
More like her. That's the last thing I want to be.
You will not get away with this,
Atos hisses but keeps his voice low.
Get away with what exactly?
Zayden responds, equally quiet.
We both know you weren't taken off mission by griffins.
Spit flies from his mouth.
What else could have possibly delayed us and slaughtered two dragons and their riders?
I narrow my eyes and let all my rage shine through them. He got Liam and Soleil killed. Fuck him.
Surely if you think there's another threat out there, you'd want to share that information with the rest of the quadrant so we could adequately train to face it.
He glares at me.
You're such a disappointment, Violet.
Stop, Zayden orders. You gambled and you lost. You can't expose what you think the truth is without,
well, exposing it.
Can you?
A cruel smile tilts Zayden's lips.
But personally, I think this is all easily solved by a missive to General Melgrin. Surely he saw the outcome of our battle with the griffins.
Satisfaction courses through me at the way the colonel's features slacken. Thanks to their rebellion relics, Melgrin can't confirm anything when there are three or more marked ones involved, and Atos apparently knows it.
I assume we're dismissed, Zayden asks. Not sure if you've noticed, but the entire quadrant is watching rather intently. So unless you'd like me to keep them entertained by retelling what happened to us,
get in formation.
He grinds the words out through clenched teeth.
Gladly, sir.
Zayden waits for me to descend the steps, then follows.
It's settled, he tells Garrick. Get everyone back in formation.
I glance over my shoulder and see Fitzgibbons shaking his head in confusion as he adjusts the death roll, and then I walk over to my squad between Imogen and Zayden.
You don't have to escort me back,
I whisper, ignoring the stares of every cadet we pass.
I promised your brother I'd handle the other Atos.
I can handle Dane.
A swift kick to the balls wouldn't be uncalled for, would it?
We tried your way last year. Now we try mine.
Imogen lifts her eyebrows, but doesn't say anything.
Violet!
Dane breaks formation, moving toward us as we reach second squad, flame section. The worry and relief that etch the lines of his face make power prickle in my hands.
You cannot kill him here, Zayden warns.
You're alive! We'd heard!
Dane reaches for me and I recoil.
Touch me and I swear to the gods I'll cut your fucking hands off and let the Quadrant sort you out in the next round of challenges, Dane Atos!
My words earn more than a couple of gasps, but I don't give a shit who hears me.
Violence indeed.
The hint of amusement in Zayden's tone doesn't reach his face.
What?
Dane stops dead in his tracks, his eyebrows shooting up into his hairline.
You don't mean that, Vi.
I do. I rest my hands alongside the sheaths at my thighs.
You should take her at her word.
In fact, Zayden doesn't bother to lower his voice. If you don't, I'll take personal offense. She made her choice, and it wasn't you. It will never be you. I know it. She knows it. The whole Quadrant knows it.
Oh, just kill me now.
Heat flushes my cheeks. Getting caught in his flight jacket before war games is one thing. Outing us in public, when I'm not sure there is an us, is another. Imogen grins, and I consider the merits of elbowing her in the side. Dane glances left and right, his face flushing so scarlet I can see the color under the scruff of his light brown beard as everyone looks on.
What else? You going to threaten to kill me, Ryerson?
He retorts, the disgust on his face so similar to his father's that my stomach sours.
No,
Zayden shakes his head. Why should I when Sorengil is perfectly capable of doing that herself? She doesn't want you to touch her. Pretty sure everyone in the Quadrant heard her. That should be enough for you to keep your hands to yourself.
He leans in, his whisper barely reaching my ears.
But in case it's not, every time you think of reaching for her face, I want you to remember one word.
And what is that?
Dane seethes.
Athbeen.
Zayden pulls back, and the pure menace in his expression sends a shiver along my skin. Dane's spine stiffens as Colonel Panchek calls the formation to attention.
No response?
Interesting. Zayden's head tilts to the side as he studies Dane's face.
Get back in formation, squad leader, before I lose all pretense of civility on behalf of Liam and Soleil.
Dane pales and has the decency to look away before stepping back into his place at the head of our squad. Zayden's gaze meets mine for a heartbeat before he walks to the front of Fourth Wing.
I should have known going for Dane's pride would include a spectacle.
The squad shuffles, making room for Imogen and me in our usual places, and my face heats at the blatant stares from my friends.
That was
interesting, Rhiannon whispers at my side, her eyes puffy and red.
That was hot, Nadine comments from in front of us, standing beside Sawyer.
Love triangles can get so fucking awkward, don't you think?
Imogen says. I shoot a glare over my shoulder at her for going along with Zayden's implication, or assumption, but she shrugs unapologetically.
Gods, I missed you.
The blue streak in Quinn's short blonde curls bobs as she shoulder bumps Imogen.
War games sucked. You didn't miss much.
Captain Fitzgibbon steps forward on the dais, sweat dripping down his face as he continues from where we were interrupted, reading names from the death roll.
17 so far,
Rhiannon whispers. The final test for war games is always deadly, ensuring only the strongest riders move on to graduation. But Liam was the strongest of our year. And that didn't save him.
Soleil Tellery. Liam Mari,
Captain Fitzgibbons calls out. I struggle to force air through my lungs and fight the sting in my eyes as the rest of the names blur together until the scribe finishes the roll, commending their souls to Malik. None of us cry.
Commandant Panchek clears his throat.
And though there's no need to magically amplify his voice over the small numbers we've been whittled down to over the last year, he can't seem to help himself.
Beyond military commendations, there are no words of praise for riders. Our reward for a job well done is living to see the next duty station, the next rank. In keeping with our traditions and standards, those of you who have completed your third year will now be commissioned as lieutenants in the Army of Navarre. Step forward when your name is called to receive your orders. You have until morning to depart for your new duty stations.
Starting with First Wing, the third years are named section by section. Each collects their orders before leaving the courtyard.
It's kind of underwhelming, Riddick whispers from my other side, earning a glare from Dane as he looks over his shoulder from two rows ahead.
Fuck him.
Just saying, surviving 3 years of this place should come with a lifetime supply of ale and a party so good you can't remember it, he shrugs.
That's for tonight, Quinn says. Are they handwriting those orders?
For the third years, they thought we're dead, Heaton says from the back row.
Who do you think is going to be our new wing leader? Nadine whispers from behind me.
Aura Beinhaven, Rhiannon answers. She was instrumental in Second Wing's win for War Games, but Atos didn't do too badly filling in for Ryerson either.
Heaton and Emery are called up from our squad. I glance at the others, remembering the first years who started with us but won't finish. The first years who either lie buried at the foot of Besgaeth in endless rows of stones, or were taken home to be put to rest. The second years who will never see a third star on their shoulders. The third years like Soleil, who were certain they'd graduate only to fall. Maybe this place is exactly what the Griffin Flyer had called it, a death factory.
Zayden Ryerson,
the commandant calls out, and my pulse leaps as Zayden strides forward to take his orders, the last third year in formation. Nausea grips my stomach and I sway. He'll be gone by morning. Gone. Telling myself that I'll see him every few days because of Taryn and Sigale's mating bond doesn't quell the panic quickening my breaths. He won't be here. Not on the mat, testing and pushing me to be better. Not in battle brief or on the flight line. I should be happy for the space, but I'm not. Panchek resumes his place at the podium, running his hands down the trim lines of his uniform as though smoothing away any wrinkles.
I'll find you before I go.
Zayden's voice cuts through my shield and spiraling thoughts, then fades as he walks out of the courtyard and into the dormitory.
At least we'll get to say goodbye.
Or fight our goodbyes, whatever.
Congratulations to the new lieutenants, Panchek says. The rest of you will report to Central Issue to turn in your uniforms. Yes, you may keep your earned patches, and pick up your new ones. From this moment, seconds are now third years and firsts are now second years, with all the privileges that entails. New command designations will be posted in Commons this evening. You are dismissed.
A resounding cheer goes up in the courtyard, and I'm grabbed into a hug by Riddick, then Sawyer, then Rhiannon, and even Nadine.
We made it. We're officially second years.
Out of the 11 first years who came through our squad during the year, both before and after threshing, the five of us are the only ones left standing.
For now.
An excerpt from A Missive from Lieutenant Colonel De Grenzi, Samara Outpost, to General Melgren. After three consecutive deaths of prisoners during his interrogations, it is this command's opinion that Major Burton Varish should be reassigned from an active wing until further notice. Chapter 5. Riders party as hard as we fight. And we fight pretty damn hard. The gathering hall is more raucous than I've ever seen it by the time the sun begins to set that evening.
Cadets gather around, or in Second Wing's case, on top of tables overflowing with food and pitchers of sweet wine, frothy ale, and a lavender lemonade that clearly has its fair share of distilled liquor. Only the dais table is empty. For this one moment, there are no wing leaders, no section leaders, not even a squad leader in sight. Other than the stars on the fronts of our shoulders that denote our years at Besgaeth, we're all equal tonight. Even the newly anointed lieutenants who wander in to say their goodbyes aren't in our chain of command. There's a pleasant buzz in my head, courtesy of the lemonade and the two silver stars on my shoulder. Shantara? Rhiannon asks, leaning forward to look past me and lifting her brows at Riddick, who is seated on my other side.
Out of every privilege that comes with being a second year, that's what you're looking forward to? It's only a rumor.
The village that supplies Besgaeth has always been open to second years from the Healer Quadrant, Scribe Quadrant, and Infantry Quadrant, but not ours. We've been banned for nearly a decade after a fight led to a local bar burning down.
I'm just saying, I heard they might lift the ban finally, and we've been stuck with this dating pool for the last year,
Riddick states, using his cup to motion around the hall, which is mostly behind us.
So even the possibility of getting leave to spend a few hours in Shantara every week is definitely what I'm looking forward to the most.
Nadine grins, her eyes sparkling as she gathers the hair she dyed purple this evening in one hand so it doesn't fall into the pitcher, and leans over the table to clink her glass against Riddick's cup.
Here, here, it's getting a little...
She wrinkles her button nose, glancing past Sawyer at the other squads in our wing.
Familiar around here. I bet by third year it will feel downright incestuous.
We all laugh. None of us stating the obvious. Statistically speaking, a third of our class won't survive to see our third years. But we're this year's Iron Squad, having lost the fewest cadets between Parapet and Gauntlet. So I'm choosing to think positively tonight and every night of the next 5 days, during which our only duty will be to prepare for the arrival of the first years. Rhiannon pulls one of her braids under her nose and furrows her brow like Pancheck as she mock lectures.
You do know that trips to Shantara are for worship only, cadet.
Hey, I never said I wouldn't stop by the Temple of Zinal to pay the god of luck my respects.
Riddick puts his hand over his heart.
And not because you're praying to get a little lucky while the other cadets are in town,
Sawyer comments, wiping the foam from his ale off his freckled upper lip.
I'm changing my answer. Riddick says, being able to fraternize with other quadrants anywhere in our downtime is what I'm looking forward to.
What is this downtime you speak of? I joke. We might have a few more empty hours here and there compared to first years, but there's a slew of harder courses headed for us.
We have weekends now. I'll take whatever time we get.
His grin turns mischievous. Rhiannon leans forward on her elbows and winks at me.
Like you'll be using every second you can get with a certain Lieutenant Ryerson.
My liquor-flushed cheeks heat even more. I'm not... A resounding boo sounds around the table.
Pretty much everyone saw you show up to formation in his flight jacket before war games, Nadine says. And after this morning's display, please.
She rolls her eyes. Right, the display after he told me that he'd always keep secrets from me. Personally, I'm looking forward to letters, Rhiannon says, clearly jumping in to save me as Imogen and Quinn arrive, sliding in next to Nadine. It's been way too long since I've been able to talk to my family. We share a small smile, neither of us mentioning that we snuck out of Montserrat to see her family a few months ago.
No chore duty, Sawyer adds. I will never scrub another breakfast dish again.
I'll never push another library cart with Liam.
I'm going with his answer, Nadine agrees, sliding the pitchers of alcohol toward Imogen and Quinn.
A couple of months ago, Nadine wouldn't even acknowledge Imogen's presence because of her rebellion relic. It gives me hope
that the new lieutenants who bear the same mark might not face discrimination at their new duty stations. But I saw firsthand at Montserrat how the wings look at marked ones, like they were the officers who perpetuated the rebellion, not their parents. Then again, given what I know now, everyone is right not to trust them. Not to trust me.
Second year is the best,
Quinn says, pouring ale from the pitcher into a pewter mug. All the privileges and only some of the responsibilities of the third years.
But fraternizing between quadrants is definitely the best perk,
Imogen adds, forcing a smile and wincing before touching her finger to the split in her lip.
That's what I said,
Riddick fist pumps the air.
Did your lip get split while you guys?
Nadine asks Imogen, her voice trailing off as the table goes quiet. I lower my eyes to my lemonade. The alcohol doesn't numb the ache of guilt that sits heavily on my shoulders. Maybe Zayden's right. If I can't lie to my friends, maybe I should start keeping my distance so I don't get them killed. Yeah, Imogen says, glancing my way, but I don't look up.
I still can't believe you guys saw action,
Riddick says, all playfulness dying.
Not war games, which were already scary as shit with Atos stepping in for Ryerson, but real, actual griffins.
I grip my glass tighter. How am I supposed to sit here and act like I'm the same person when what happened in Ressen has changed every single thing about what I believe?
What was it like?
Nadine inquires softly.
If you guys don't mind us asking.
Yes, I fucking mind.
I always knew griffin talons were sharp, but to take down a dragon?
Sawyer's voice drifts off. My knuckles whiten and power simmers beneath my skin as I remember the angry red veins beside that dark wielder's eyes as she came for me on Tarn's back, the look in Liam's when he realized Day wasn't going to make it.
It's natural to wonder,
Tarn reminds me,
especially when your experience could prepare them for battle in their eyes.
They should mind their own business,
Andarna counters, her voice gruff as though settling into sleep.
They're all better off not knowing.
Guys, maybe now isn't,
Rhiannon starts.
It fucking sucked,
Imogen says before throwing back her drink and slamming her glass on the table.
You want the truth? If it wasn't for Ryerson and Sorengale, we'd all be dead.
My gaze jerks to hers. It's the closest thing to a compliment she's ever given me. There's no pity in her pale green eyes as she stares back, but there's no defensive snark either, just respect. Her pink hair falls away from her cheek as she tilts her head at me.
And as much as I wish none of it had happened, at least those of us who were there truly know the horror of what we're up against.
My throat tightens.
To Liam,
Imogen says, lifting her glass and defying the unwritten rule that we don't speak of the dead cadets after their name is read from the roll.
To Liam, I lift mine, and everyone at the table does the same, drinking to him. It's not enough, but it has to be.
Can I offer a word of advice going into your second year? Quinn says, after a quiet moment. Don't get too close to the first years, especially not until Threshing tells you how many of them might actually be worth getting to know. She grimaces. Just trust me.
Well, that's sobering. The shimmering shadow of my connection with Zayden strengthens, curling around my mind like a second shield, and I glance over my shoulder to see him across the hall, leaning against the wall next to the door, his hands in the pockets of his flight leathers. Garrick is talking to him, but his eyes are locked on mine.
Having fun?
He asks, pushing through my shields with annoying ease. A shiver of awareness rushes over my skin. Mixing alcohol and Zayden is definitely not a good idea.
Or is it the best idea?
Whatever is going through that beautiful mind, I'm here for it. Even from this distance, I can see his gaze darken.
Wait,
He's in flight leathers, dressed to leave.
My heart slumps, taking a little of my buzz with it. He nods toward the door.
I'll be right back, I say, setting my cup on the table and wobbling a little as I stand. No more lemonade for me.
I certainly hope not, Riddick mutters, or you'll destroy all my fantasies when it comes to that one.
I roll my eyes at him, then make my way across the chaotic room to Zayden.
Violet? His gaze rakes over my face, lingering on my cheeks.
I love the way he says my name.
Sure, it's the alcohol overruling my logic, but I want to hear him say it again. Lieutenant Ryerson?
There's a silver line at his collar showing his new rank, but no other markings that could give away his identity in case he falls behind enemy lines. No unit designation, no signet patches. He could be any lieutenant in any wing, if not for the relic that marks his neck.
Hey, Sorengale,
Garrick says, but I can't peel my eyes from Zayden long enough to glance his way.
Good job today.
Thanks, Garrick, I respond, moving closer to Zayden. He'll change his mind and let me all the way in. He has to.
Gods, you two. Garrick shakes his head. Do us all a favor and figure your shit out. I'll meet you at the flight field.
He smacks Zayden's shoulder and walks off.
You look... I sigh, because it's not like I've ever been successful lying to him, and the fuzziness in my head isn't helping. Good in officer flight leathers.
They're almost exactly like cadet ones. A corner of his mouth lifts, but it's not quite a smile.
Didn't say you didn't look good in those two.
He tilts his head at me. Drunk, aren't you?
I'm pleasantly fuddled, but not entirely sloshed.
That makes exactly no sense, but it's accurate.
Yet. But the night is young. And I'm not sure if you've heard, but we have nothing to do for the next 5 days except prepare for the first years and party.
I wish I could stay to see what you do with all that time. He looks me over lazily, his gaze heating as though he's remembering what I look like naked, and my pulse leaps.
Walk out with me?
I nod, then follow him into Commons, where he grabs his rucksack from beside the wall and slings it over his shoulders casually, as if there aren't two swords hanging from the back of it. A group of cadets hovers around the announcements board, like the new leadership list is going to appear at any second, and they might be erased from it if someone discovers they're not watching. Yep, there's Dane in the center of them.
You aren't waiting for tomorrow morning to leave? I ask Zayden, keeping my voice low as we cross the stone floor of the expansive space.
They prefer wing leaders to vacate their rooms first, since the new guys like to move in quickly. He glances at the crowd around the announcement board.
And since I'm guessing you're not offering a place in your bed...
I'm not nearly drunk enough to make that lapse in judgment, I assure him as he opens a door to the rotunda. I told you. I don't sleep with men I don't trust, and if you're not offering full disclosure...
I shake my head and immediately regret it, nearly losing my balance.
I'll earn your trust as soon as you realize you don't need full disclosure. You only have to have the guts to start asking the questions you actually want answers to.
Don't worry about the bed. We'll get back there. The anticipation is good for us.
He smiles. Really fucking smiles, and it almost makes me rethink my decision.
I tell you we're not together because you won't give me the one thing I need, honesty, and you counter with it's good for us.
I scoff and walk down the stairs and past two of the marble pillars in the rotunda.
The arrogance.
Confidence is not arrogance. I don't lose the fights I pick, and we're both allowed to have boundaries. You're not the only one who gets to set the rules in this relationship.
I bristle at the implication that I'm the problem here. And you're picking a fight with me?
The world tips slightly when I look up at him.
Picking a fight for you.
There's a difference. His expression hardens as his gaze jerks left toward the approach of Colonel Atos and a rider wearing the rank of major.
Ryerson. Sorengale.
The colonel's mouth quirks into a sarcastic smile.
So lovely to see you both tonight. Leaving for the Southern Wing so soon? The front will be lucky to have such a capable rider.
My chest tightens. Zayden isn't going to a Midgard wing like most lieutenants. He's being sent to the front? I'd say I'll be back before you can miss me, Zayden replies, his hands loose at his sides. But word has it you pissed off General Sorengale enough to be reassigned to a coastal outpost. The colonel's face blotches.
I might not be here, but you won't be as often either. Only once every fortnight, according to your new orders.
What? My stomach pitches, and it takes every ounce of control I have not to reach out and steady myself. The major slides his hand into the breast pocket of his perfectly pressed dress uniform and pulls out two folded missives. His black hair is perfectly combed, his boots perfectly shined, his smile perfectly cruel. Power rises within me, responding to the threat.
Where are my manners? Colonel Atos says. Violet, this is your new vice commandant, Major Varish. He's here to tighten the ship, as they say. We seem to have gotten a little lax with what we allow around here.
Naturally, the Quadrant's current executive commandant will still see to operations, but Varish's new position only answers to Pancheck.
Cadet Sorengale, I correct the colonel.
Vice commandant? Fucking great.
The general's daughter, Varish responds, looking me over in clear appraisal, his attention snagging on every dagger I have within reach.
Fascinating. I'd heard you were too fragile to survive a year in the Quadrant.
My presence would suggest otherwise.
What a dick. Zayden takes both missives, careful not to touch Varish's hands, then gives me the one that has my name scrawled across the front. We crack Melgren's personal wax seals at the same moment, then unfold the official orders.
Cadet Violet Sorengale is hereby given 2 days of leave once every 14 days to be used only to fly with Tern directly to and from Sigale's current duty station or location. Any other absence from classes will be considered a punishable offense. I grit my teeth to keep from giving the colonel the reaction he so obviously wants and carefully fold the orders, slipping them into the pocket at my hip. My guess is Zayden's say the same, and rotating our leaves puts us at every 7 days. Tern and Sigale are never apart more than 3 days a week. They'll be in a near constant state of pain. It's unfathomable.
Tern? I reach out for him. He roars so loudly it rattles my brain.
Dragons give their own orders, Zayden says calmly, pocketing his papers. Guess we'll see,
Colonel Atos nods, then turns his gaze to mine.
You know, I was worried about our earlier conversation until I remembered something.
And what is that? Zayden asks, clearly losing patience.
Secrets make for poor leverage. They die with the people who keep them.
An excerpt from Major Ofendra's Guide to the Rider's Quadrant, unauthorized edition. What no one openly says is that while all four quadrants obey the code of conduct, a rider's first responsibility is to the codex, which often overrules the regulations other quadrants live by. By definition, the riders make their own rules.
Chapter 6. The churning in my stomach has nothing to do with the lemonade. I'm pretty sure Colonel Atos just insinuated he'd kill us.
Good thing we're not keeping secrets, Zayden retorts.
Atos's smile shifts to the softer one I've seen all my life, and the transformation is eerie.
Do be careful who you share your war stories with, Violet. I'd hate to see your mother lose either of her daughters.
What the fuck? Energy crackles in my fingertips. He stares at me for a moment, making sure I get his point, then turns and walks into Commons without another word, Varish following.
He just threatened your life, Zayden growls, shadows whipping out from behind the pillars.
And Mira's. If I tell anyone what really happened, he'll target her too.
Message delivered. Power burns through my veins, seeking an outlet. Anger only fuels the energy that swiftly surges to an overwhelming wave, threatening to rip me apart.
Let's get you outside before you bring the place down, Zayden says, reaching for my hand.
I give it to him, focusing on keeping the lightning at bay as we walk into the courtyard. But the harder I fight to tame it, the hotter it becomes. And once we're in the darkness of the courtyard, I rip my hand from Zayden's as power tears from me, scalding every nerve on the way out. Lightning illuminates the night sky, striking the courtyard about 40 feet away. Gravel flies.
Shit.
Zayden throws up a shield of shadow, catching the rocks before they can hit any of the nearby cadets.
Guess alcohol doesn't dampen your signet, he says slowly. Good news is it's all stone out here.
Sorry, I call out to the others as they scatter, grimacing at my utterly embarrassing lack of control. Forget protecting me, the Quadrant needs protection from me. Taking a deep breath, I turn to face Zayden. Southern Wing? Is that what you chose? Wing leaders always get their choice of duty station.
There was no other choice by the time they hand wrote our orders.
I'll be at Samara. I spent today packing and shipping most of my things. It's the easternmost outpost of the Southern Wing, where the borders of Krovla and Breivik provinces intersect. And it's a day's flight away.
They'll only have hours together every time they make the flight.
Yeah, she's pretty pissed.
Tarn, too. I reach out for Andarna in case she hasn't drifted off yet.
You've lost all touch with reality if you think I'm getting close to him right now, she responds, her voice gritty from sleep. He's in a mood.
You should be sleeping.
She's supposed to be settling in for the dreamless sleep. I still don't know exactly what that means, nor is Tarn open to questions on the parenting secrets of dragons. But he insists that sleeping away the next 2 months is critical to her growth and development. Part of me can't help wondering if it's simply a clever way to avoid a majority of the teenage years of moody dragons. As if on cue, Andarna replies with a yawn.
I miss all the drama.
We'll only have hours to,
I whisper, looking away from Zayden's intense gaze.
You know, to pass information.
The courtyard reminds me of a ballroom about 2 hours after everyone reasonable has left the party, full of drunkards and bad decisions. How the hell are Zayden and I going to fix whatever we are without time together?
Pretty sure that's precisely the idea. They'll split us up for as long and as often as possible. We'll have to make the most of what time we get.
I don't hate you as much tonight. I whisper.
It's the alcohol. Don't worry, you'll despise me again tomorrow.
He reaches out and I don't retreat when he cradles the nape of my neck. Warmth spreads over every inch of my body. The effect he has on me is as infuriating as it is undeniable.
Listen to me.
He lowers his voice and gently tugs me toward him, shooting a glance at a group of tipsy cadets watching nearby.
Play along.
I nod. I'll be back in 7 days, he says for the benefit of the people passing by.
Sigail and Tarn won't be able to talk over the distance. They'll sense emotions, but that's it.
Remember that leadership will read any missive we send. He leans down, making it look to everyone else that we're locked in some kind of farewell embrace, which isn't far from the truth. A lot can happen in 7 days. I understand what he's telling me mentally. What am I supposed to do while you're gone?
Nothing that matters will change, he assures me for the benefit of onlookers.
Don't involve yourself in anything Bodhi and the others are doing. He has that look, the steely one he gets when he's sure he's right.
You really aren't going to change, are you? I whisper, my chest tightening.
This isn't about us. Every eye will be on you. And you don't have a rebellion relic to hide your actions from Melgrin if you're caught alone. Involving yourself endangers everything we're working for. Another group of cadets wanders closer, heading toward the rotunda. It's hard to argue against that, especially when what I have planned requires being left to my own devices.
I'm going to miss you.
His hand flexes on the back of my neck as a couple of riders from Third Wing get a little too close.
You can only fully trust those who were with us at Resen.
Think of all the spare time you'll have without having to constantly train me on the mat. I give in to the ceaseless urge to touch him, lifting my hands to his chest so I can feel the steady beat of his heart under my fingertips. And blame the alcohol for the utter lapse in judgment.
I'd much rather have you under me on the mat than spare time.
His arm wraps around my waist, tugging me closer.
When it comes to the other marked ones, don't risk trusting them. Not yet. They know they can't kill you, but some of them would be happy to see you hurt, given who your mother is.
Back to that, are we? I try to smile, but my lower lip trembles. I'm not actually upset about him leaving. That's the lemonade talking.
Never left that,
he reminds me, keeping his voice low, even though the others in the courtyard are now giving us more than enough privacy.
Keep yourself alive, and I'll be back in 7 days.
His hand slides to the side of my neck, and his thumb grazes my jawline as he lowers his mouth to only a breath above mine.
We managed to keep each other alive today. Trust me yet?
My heart jolts. I can almost taste his kiss. And gods, I want it.
With my life, I whisper.
That's all?
His mouth hovers above mine, all promise and no delivery.
That's all.
Trust is earned, and he isn't even trying.
Too bad, he whispers, lifting his head. But like I said, anticipation is a good thing.
Common sense crashes through the fog of lust with embarrassing ease.
For fuck's sake, what did I almost do?
No anticipation. I outright glare, but my words lack bite. We aren't happening, remember? That's your choice. I have every right to walk right back into the gathering hall and pick whomever I want to warm my bed. Someone a little more ordinary.
It's a bluff.
Maybe. Or alcohol. Or maybe I just want him to feel the same uncertainty I do.
You absolutely have every right, but you won't.
He gives me a slow smile.
Because you're impossible to replace?
It does not come out as a compliment. At least, that's what I tell myself.
Because you still love me.
The certainty in his eyes